Thank you for coming. Thank you. Well, my name is Danilo Martinez. I am from El Salvador. I've been asked several times, where do you live? I always tell them, I'm from Fargo, North Dakota. But where are you from? And I'm from El Salvador. And what are you doing in Fargo? Yes, what am I doing in Fargo? That's a long story. Yeah, and I always tell them, they always ask me, well, you are in Fargo. Why did you choose Fargo as your place to live? I tell them, I didn't choose Fargo as my place. It was chosen for me. And who chose Fargo for me? It was the U.S. government. It was the U.S. government who chose Fargo as my place for me to live. I told them, just get me out of the country. I don't care where you send me to live. So I was sent to Fargo, North Dakota. But why? But why? Well, when I was in El Salvador, I used to live my life like anybody else. I know, as you know, guys, El Salvador was in a terrible civil war that lasted for almost more than 12 long years. And a lot of things happened during those 12 long years, a lot of ugly things. There was a lot of fight between the government's troop and the rebel forces. Many people died. Many of my friends, parents, classmates from university and high school were murdered by the soldiers of the army. Many of my friends joined the rebels because they thought just to reign, just by take a gun, they were going to win the civil war, but they were wrong. The government and the rebels were wrong. There were friends of the revolutions, but there were enemies of the revolutions. Who were the friends of the revolutions? The friends of the revolutions were some religious people. Who were the enemies of the Salvadoran Revolution? It was the government and the U.S. government. Please, come in. So the U.S. government supplied to the Salvadoran government a lot of military aid. A lot of money, a lot of weapons, just to kill innocent people. Just to kill innocent people. But the rebel forces, got money and got weapons too. From where? From Cuba and Nicaragua. The U.S. government tried to stop the revolution in Central America, in those Central American countries, at any cost. The U.S. government in those days didn't care how many people was killed. They didn't care how much money they poured on that civil war. Yeah, of course, money was coming, weapons were coming, so a lot of people were dying, a lot of people were killed. But in November 11, 1989, the rebel forces decide to attack the Salvadoran army on anywhere in the country. So that's the famous guerrilla offensive from November 1989. I remember when it began in November 11, 1989. I was at university taking my classes. There was, of course, I was taking classes, but there were no classes because classes were suspended. Yeah. And then one of my friends came and told me, you better get out of here because this thing is going to explode right now. And I didn't know what he was trying, what he tried. I didn't know what he really tried to tell me. But then, when I was on the university campus, I began to hear, you know, bombs, explosion, bullets, sound of the guns, sound of the canyons, people screaming. Well, and then I was told, you better get out of here because the guerrillas are attacking the army's fort everywhere. Yes, they were right. So I was trapped on San Salvador's capital city. I was trapped, and I almost, took me almost a couple hours to get from the university to my house. And yes, there was a fight between the army and the rebel forces on San Salvador's street that November 11, 1989. I don't know how I made it alive to my house. I don't know. My mom, she was in San Salvador. She came to the capital city to buy some food, and she was trapped. Well, this is only the beginning. That was November 11, November 12, November 13, November the 14th. My family ran out of food supply. So, we had no food, we had nothing. Nothing to eat. And then my mom told me, I think you better go to the capital city to get some food, because we have none. And yet, we didn't have anything. Well, I don't know how I managed to get from my house to San Salvador. In those days, my mom used to have a restaurant. And in that restaurant, we had a lot of food, a lot of food. So I came to our restaurant with my little sister, and yes, and we came. She took some supplies, and I carried a big cylinder of gas propane on my shoulder. Nobody believes me. I wish in those days to have a camera and take a picture, you know, but I didn't have nothing. Yes, but I managed. But I managed to carry that cylinder on my shoulder to my house. I managed to carry all the food supply to my house, and I managed to get to my house alive with my little sister. That was November 14th. There was no electricity. The government cut off on the electricity. And the government took control of the TV station and the radio. I used to have one of those little radios. And I remember in one of those radio stations, there was a conversation with the town, a conversation with the people of town. What do you think about our situation right now? And everybody said, kill them, kill them, kill them, kill them. Who they were thanking, I don't know. Kill them because they are the cause of this problem right now. Kill them. Yes, they say kill them. But for me, who? I didn't know. But then, November 16, a terrible news came and really struck all the Salvadoran people. Yes, they were killed. I don't know how the army penetrate to the Catholic University, the place where the Jesuit priests were living, and yes, the army, the Salvadoran army, murdered 6 Jesuit priests and their housekeeper and her daughter. That was November the 16th. Was ugly. That was a terrible news. Everybody asked, why were they murdered? Why? Who killed them? The army said, we didn't kill them, the rebel did it. The rebel said, we didn't kill them, the army did it. Nobody wanted to take responsibility for that horrible crime. It was time. With this murder, the international community pay attention to what was going on in El Salvador. The international community paid attention to what was going on in all Central America. With this murder, El Salvador got everybody's attention. That was nice. The Salvadoran government began to make investigations about who killed them. And well, with the US pressure and the international community, they found the murders, yeah. They found the murders. And the murders, who were the murders? The murders were the same members of the Salvadoran army. Yes, it was the real Salvadoran army that killed the priest. But why? Why the Salvadoran army decide to murder the priest? Why? Almost every single day, spokesmen from the army, their message were broadcast on TV, on radio, the newspapers, accusing them as terrorists, accusing them as rebels. They were the only one. They were the ones who were poisoned all the minds of the Salvadoran people. No, they were not poisoning the minds. They didn't poison my mind. They just opened the they just helped to open the eyes from all the Salvadoran people. They helped me to open my eyes. They helped me to open my eyes to see what the Salvadoran government and what its army was doing against the Salvadoran people. Of course, they were murdering people. They were killing people almost every day. And yes, the priests, the Jesuit priests in El Salvador, they were fighting to stop the civil war. They wanted that horrible civil war to come to an end. I think they thought, if we are murdered, we will stop this conflict. That was their thought. But that was a heavy, heavy price they paid. Okay. The Salvadoran government found the murders. Yes, yes, they were members of the Salvadoran army. And then probably just the government say, well, we want to have the money, we want to have all the military aid. Let's put those murders to trial. Let's put them. It was just only, I think they did it for, probably they did it for political reasons. Of course, the government wanted the money. The government wanted to clean up everything they did before. So they put they put the members of the army who to try of the one who murdered the priest. Nobody knew in El Salvador when the trial was going to be. Nobody knew. I didn't know. But there were rumors. Just in the middle of 1999, there were some rumors. The Salvadoran government will is going to trial the murders of the Jesuit priest. But when? We didn't know. And by surprise, like September 26 or 27, something came to my attention. All the Salvadoran government will soon put on trial the murders. And I didn't pay attention. Please come in. Please come in. Please take a seat. So before September 28th, of course, something came to my attention. Of course, the government was going to put those army members to trial. But nobody knew. And I just read what was on the paper, I heard what was on the news and TV, and I just laughed. Sometimes I used to joke with my friends. Well, I used to have friends that used to work with the Salvadoran justice system. They were lawyers, prosecutors, defenders. And I used to tell them, well, if you guys do the trial of the Jesuit police, or of the Jesuit, please don't call me. Leave me alone. I just leave me alone. It was a joke. Just a simple joke. September 27, 1991, there was the news on the newspaper. El Salvador is going to put on trial the members of the army that murdered the priest. I read it on the news, and then I joked with my fellow workers. Well, if I am selected to that trial, I will declare them guilty. It was a joke. It was a joke when I told them. I was joking. Well, if I am called to attend that trial, and if I am selected as a juror, I will declare them guilty. I was joking, but I think that joke became a reality. That joke became for me a nightmare. That September 27, I got a citation from the Supreme Court of Justice. It said, you have been chosen to be part of a jury trial. Please come September 28th to our office. bring your ID, bring any paper, any legal document. So I got scared when I got the citation. And then I told my dad, look, Dad, I think something is gonna happen soon. Because I read in the newspaper that the government is going to put on trial the army, the members of the army who killed the priest. And I think it's going to be, the trial is going to be tomorrow, and I got a citation from the Supreme Court of Justice. And he said, don't pay attention, and even if you go to that trial, nobody's gonna come because nobody wanna be there. So September 28th, I went to work. But I had that thing in my mind. Today is the day that the government is going to put in trial those members. And I got a citation to go. But I never thought that it was going to be for that trial. Well, I told my father, well, Dad, I will go to the Supreme Court of Justice. And if I don't come, that means that I've been chosen. So I went to the tribunals, and yes, I don't know how the government, the Salvadoran government, select me as one of the jurors for this trial. It was called the trial of the century in El Salvador. It was called. Why? Because it was the first time that members of the Salvadoran army were put on trial. It was the first time in the Salvadoran history. It was. I didn't want it to be there. I didn't want it to be there because I was dealing with the government and the army. It was really, I remember when the judge called my name. I cried, and then I began to hit the table. Why? I'm sorry. Why me? I didn't want it to be that. The other five members, they didn't want it to be that. Nobody wanted to be that. We wanted to get out, but we could. We had no choice. Because the destiny of the army was on the hand of those five people. The destiny of the civil war was on the hand of those five people. And it happened to be that I was one of them. The five jurors decide to have the trial and finish it as soon as possible. Among the jurors, we disagreed a lot of times. There were 3 men and 2 women. The women say, they are innocent. They were following orders. The men say, I was one of them. No, they are guilty. They are guilty. So, several times I had to argue with the women. They insulted me. Yeah? Because I told them, no, those guys are guilty. So, they need to pay. They need to go to jail.
Do you know how,
yes,
how many were on trial?
There were 9. There were 9. And from here, there was a colonel. And 2. I think, well, for any with this permit. Yeah, and
6.
Yeah, 6 more soldiers. 6 soldiers. At the end of the trial, we declared guilty the colonel and one of his lieutenants. Why we declared the colonel guilty? Why? Because he was the only one who knew, who told him, who gave the order. He knew who told him to execute those Jesuit priests. So that's the reason why we declared him guilty. Because there was somebody from the top, somebody from the Salvadoran High Command told him, hey, you have those priests on your area, so you better get rid of them. So somebody told him, and until now nobody knows who. Because he's not gonna tell. So after the judge read the verdict, I realized what I have done, and then I say, oh Lord, I am in jeopardy. I didn't realize that I made a mistake with the government and its army. I didn't realize that I stuck a knife on the Salvadoran army. Yes.
Did all 5 jurors have to agree for this?
No. The 3 men always agree, the women, the 2 women always disagree with us. Yes. Yeah. So I realized that just by declaring the colonel and his lieutenant guilty, I realized that I made a mistake. But at the end I say, Lord, if I did something, if I declare those men guilty, it's because I want this conflict to come to an end. I don't want to see more blood being shed.
Wow.
when the verdict came out as a news, the Salvadoran people, they were happy. Some of them were happy. Some of them were unhappy. Because some of them were unhappy because they wanted to see the 9 members guilty. The army didn't want to see nobody guilty. It was a setback to the army. And they were told, please take it and share. Don't say anything. Because the people have spoken. The people has found you guilty, so you don't need to say anything. Yes, after the jury, it was hard for me to live in El Salvador. It was hard. Because I remember when I left the Supreme Court of Justice, I left early. It was Sunday early in the morning. In the morning, like 3 o'clock, 2 or 3 o'clock, remember. And then when I left from the elevators, from the basement to an armored car, I covered myself with a blanket. And I have that blanket. I have that blanket. I remember that during the trial, I used to take notes. And I have the notebook. I have the notebook, but I don't have it here with me. I don't have it here with me. Yes, it was hard for me to leave after the trial because mentally I got sick. Wherever I went, my mom always always was with me because I was feeling that probably from the crowd, from the people walking on the street, probably somebody was going to come and just shoot me immediately. Because I declared this colonel and this lieutenant guilty. So, but I am... And then I began to get phone calls from the U.S. Embassy. Got phone calls from the U.S. Embassy. So don't worry, we'll take you out. So and with that help, and a friend from Fargo, Big Schmidt, she helped me to get out of El Salvador.
Did the others also leave the country?
Well, yes. Okay, there were 5 jurors. I think 3 left the country. 3 left the country, and 2 are still in El Salvador. I think. Yes.
What was the expectation of the government for the outcome of this trial? Did they expect you to convict or not to convict, or did they care?
I think the government didn't care. The government didn't care about the result. They just wanted to clear their reputation. Huh. Yeah, they didn't care. But at the end. When the United Nations report about the civil war in El Salvador came out, that was a real setback for the government and for the army. One of the recommendations that the United Nations gave to the Salvadoran government was to reduce the army. This used to be the number of soldiers the Salvadoran government used to have on its army. Now, there are only 20,000 soldiers. All the members of the Salvadoran Army High Command, the United Nations, told them, stop, you will be retired. And they went. The army was reduced. The army was completely disbanded. And that was one of the goals of those three guys. That was my goal. To help to disband the army. Yes.
What was the population of El Salvador?
In El Salvador, in those days, 5.5 million people. Yeah. And now, it's almost 7. After the Civil War, baby boom. Oh, yeah.
A trial in the United States would never take 3 days.
No.
There would be prosecutor and a defense and witnesses and testimony, and it would go on and on and on. You said the government wanted this settled quickly. And so I'm presuming that maybe there was some pressure from the United States to get this taken care of because of the outcry at the murder of the Jesuits. Mm-hmm. And that was the pressure to just do something. So what were you told? I mean, what did the trial, was there any testimony? I mean, was there any real trial, or was it just that the five of you were supposed to make a decision, or?
No, you know, we heard the defenders, the prosecutors, they show us all the evidence. Yeah, and after each session, the five members, the five jurors, we used to get together and discuss what we already heard and make our opinions. Yeah. During the trial, nobody came to tell us, do this, do that. We did it ourselves. There was no pressure from anybody. There was no pressure. Yeah. Nobody came to intimidate us. Nobody.
Was it an open trial, a public trial?
Could the public come?
No.
No.
No. No. No. No. No. Who were there during the trial were, the defendant's family, the international community, and journalists, and TV cameras.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was closed to the public. Due to the meaning of the trial, because it was for the first time the Salvadoran army was put on trial. Yeah. Yes.
How many civilians do they estimate were killed, and were there any other army people brought to trial? I know there's a lot were killed in that civil war.
Oh, wow.
Wasn't it a couple million?
No, it was almost close to 150,000.
150,000.
Yeah.
By the army?
Huh?
By the army?
Both.
Both sides?
Both sides. Yeah, both sides, but yeah.
Did anyone else ever come to trial for the conflict? I mean, did anyone else ever have a trial about killing civilians?
No.
No.
No. No. Just only.
Only the Jesuits.
Just only for the Jesuits. And the Jesuits knew without murders we were going to stop the civil war. We were going to put an end to the conflict.
Huh.
And
what happened to the colonel and lieutenant, and what was the outcome after being found guilty? The punishment, the other soldiers?
The punishment was they were going to go to jail for 30 years. And yes, they went to jail. Yes, they went to jail. They stay in jail only for 2 years. And then what happened? The government say peace and reconciliation. Peace and reconciliation. So they were given amnesty. They were given amnesty. All the members of the army who participated during the Civil War on atrocities against the Salvadoran people were given amnesty. All the rebel commanders who participate in the Civil War were given amnesty. Yes. So, peace and reconciliation. Yes.
How long did you stay in the country after the trial?
Eight months.
8 months.
8 months, yeah, 8 months living with fear.
Did you receive death threats?
No, I didn't, but I had some threats from some of my fellow workers. Oh, yeah, I had threats from some of my fellow workers, yeah.
Why would they find what you did wrong?
Sympathizers of the army. Yeah. Yeah, and I think one of them came and told me in my face, you know, somebody's gonna come to kill you right now, and I wish I can go and tell them that you're here. And, you know, I got so upset, I insulted him.
Yeah.
And I think he passed away a couple of years ago. Yeah, and yes, I left El Salvador. I left El Salvador in May 27, 1999. That was hard for me to leave my country, to leave my mom, to leave my parents, and it was hard for me to come to Fargo, North Dakota, to start my new life, to start over again. It was hard. And now I think it has been more than 12 years, and it's been so difficult for me to get used to, you know, because every single day there are new challenges. Every single day there are new things for me to face, new things for me to challenge. Yeah. And especially, I miss my mom and dad. I miss them. I know I am a grown up man, but I miss them. I miss them.
Have you ever been back?
Oh yeah, I went.
You can go back.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, I went. I went in April. Oh. I went for Easter. Uh-huh. Yeah. They were not expecting to see me. Yeah, they were not expecting. It was a big surprise. I remember that I called them. I talked to my mom. I told her, have a question, what are you gonna be doing for Easter? She said, yeah, I'll be in the house. Nothing else, nothing excited to do, you know. And then I told her, let me talk to Dad. Then I asked him the same question. Dad, what are you gonna be doing for Easter? Nothing, you know, there's nothing excited around here. And then I told him, don't go away, put Mom on the phone. And then I asked her again the same question. And then I told her, you better be ready because April 1st, 7:30, I'll be landing in El Salvador. Oh, she began to cry. She began to cry. And then she said, are you really coming this time? Yes. Are you coming? Yes, I have the plane tickets. And then I told her, let me talk to Dad. And I told Dad, Dad, I'm going to El Salvador. And he was happy. Mm-hmm. So he was happy. And then I let them know like two weeks in advance. I wanted to surprise them. Yeah, so that was nice. I called them. And yes, on April 1st, 7:30, late evening, I landed in El Salvador. It was hard for me to come back again. It was hard. But at the end I say, well, I think it's better time for you, Danilo, to go and face everything that is outside the plane's door. So, yes, I got out. Yes, my parents were waiting outside.
Oh, they were happy.
We cried, you know. I met the new additions of my family, new nephews, new nieces, yeah, new cousins, yeah. So that was nice. And I, you know, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't expecting to come. I wasn't expecting to be in the U.S. Yeah, it never came to my mind. It never came to my dreams to that someday I was going to be here. It never. But I never realized that the priest, the murder of the priest, was going to be my ticket. I wasn't expecting that.
So what is your status relative to the U.S. government and the El Salvadoran government?
Well, I am clean now. I'm okay.
Salvadoran citizen?
Oh, I am Salvadoran. Still a Salvadoran citizen. Yes, still a Salvadoran citizen. Yes. Yeah. Yes, I never realized that the Jesuit priest murdered just by being on the trial, on their trial, was going to be my ticket to the U.S. I never expected
that. What, you know, when you, the response of the people, your friends, your workers, your family, to the murder of the Jesuits? I mean, was this no different than all the other murders that went on? They didn't expect that anything would change. What was the mood?
Wow, my family and my friends, they were happy to see those members of the Salvadoran army being declared guilty. That was a good thing, because nobody, it was the first time, it was for the first time the members of the Salvadoran army were put on trial and being found guilty of crimes.
She means on November 16th, right?
When the murder happened. You know, I'm wondering about the pressure in the country. It sounds as though there was so much fear. There was a lot of acceptance of violence because, I don't know, I'm just wondering what...
There was no violence, there was no protest when the priests were murdered, because in those days, the army and the guerrilla forces were fighting. Yeah. Not when Bishop Romero was killed. Yes, there was no fighting, but there was a lot of protest for the people. But when the Jesuit priests were murdered, there was nothing. There was nothing because army and rebels were fighting.
Too dangerous.
Yeah, it was really dangerous to go outside to protest. Even I was at university in those days, and we didn't protest because the university was taken, and who took the university? The army. Yeah, nobody protested.
Daniela,
yes.
Did you know when the conflict was going on that there were people in our country protesting against our government?
No, I didn't know.
You didn't hear that over there?
No, I didn't hear anything. No.
There was a movement here to get our government out of.
Yeah, and I always say that, you know, Central America was the place where capitalism and communism met. Yeah. That was the place where capitalism put a lot of money, a lot of weapons to stop communism. That's my personal opinion. Because a lot of innocent people was killed in Guatemala, in El Salvador, and in Nicaragua, a lot. Capitalism put a lot of money in those countries. Why? While the government was talking to the other, to the Soviet Union, they were talking real politics, but not here. The president who was in charge of capitalism, he didn't care. Let's give them some money, let's give them more weapons, have them kill each other. Yeah, so. So Central America paid. We paid the price. We paid the price.
Well, what year was Bishop Romero assassinated?
Oh, he was. Okay, let's see. Okay, March.
Was
March 23rd of the 20th? Okay. Yep.
Much earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, that much earlier.
Yeah, it was
that went on for a long time.
Oh, that was. Yeah. You know, I think I will be a happy man the day the government find who murdered Bishop Romero.
Yeah.
I'll be so glad. Yeah. They found who murdered the Jesuit priest. Well, just the one who gave the order, who execute the order, but not the ones who gave him the order to execute the priest.
They're still there, though.
They're still there. Yeah, they're still there, and I have an idea who they are. Mm-hmm. I have an idea who they are.
And yes. The movement here, I mean, the kind of information we would get that there was a man named Dawison.
Dawison, oh yeah,
was
yeah.
Trained at our school in Americas, who was probably responsible.
Oh, yeah. Well, when the Jesuit priests were murdered, he wasn't around. He was already dead.
He was involved in other things.
No, but he's involved with
Bishop Romero. Bishop Romero, yeah.
Oh yeah, that man, he, crazy man.
Yeah, we kept hearing about him over here.
Crazy. He was the founder of the death squad in Salvador. Oh, horrible. Horrible when they used to come every single night to somebody's house. They came several times to my neighborhood and used to hear the yelling of the members of the death squad and the cry of the children. Please don't take it. Please leave my dad. Please don't kill me. That was sad.
When did that stop?
It stopped when the peace accord in El Salvador were implemented. The day El Salvador say, no more war, no more killing, no more death squad. And I think if I'm mistaken, that was like I think it was this day, February 8th, 1991. Remember that I was there, yeah. And I remember in San Salvador, in the capital city, there was a party. There was a party, and I went to the party. Yeah, and I went to the party. It was when the civil war in Salvador came to an end. And I think this was the day. And I remember there was a party, and I came to the party. Because my mom told me, you better go to the party. You're leaving the country. Yeah. Yeah, and I came to the party, and wow, it was wonderful. Rebels, guerrillas, members of the army were in the capital city celebrating the end of the conflict, and I was there. I had the opportunity to live from the beginning to the end of the civil war. I'm so thankful to the Lord that he kept me alive, and I think he kept me alive for a reason. And I think that reason was my participation here. I don't regret what I did. No, I don't regret what I did. No. and I know if I have to do it again, I will.
If you'd stayed in El Salvador, you would have been murdered?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, in those days, yes.
In those days.
Oh, yes, in those days, yes. Yeah. But I am so glad I left.
Well, I'm still missing my country.
Yeah.
I'm still missing my country. I always say, by talking to people, just by mingling with people, I am an American, but I think I am a Salvadoran by heart. Yeah. Right now, of course, I am an American. Yeah, but I'm a Salvadoran by heart, and by law, I am an American. Just by the reason to live here, I am an American, but in my heart, I'm a Salvadoran. Yeah. Yes.
Do you think of going back to your home country at some time?
Well, I just, you know, I'm thinking to go probably after 2 or 3 years. Just need to make some money. My mom told me, you better come back to El Salvador soon. Do not wait 12 years. Of course, I wait 12 years because I wanted things to be safe for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the reason why I wait too long. And it was a blessing for me.
And with your training here, is there something that you could do or you would look forward to do in Salvador?
Well, I am overqualified.
Alive.
I am overqualified. Oh, yes, I am super qualified. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I think if I'm given the opportunity to go to Salvador to do something, yes, I will. Yeah, because I have friends. I have friends from the university. I have friends who won't leave me alone on my quest. Yeah, my best friend from the university. Yeah, and even when I was in El Salvador, we met some of my closest friends that I had at university. We met, we talked, and they were happy. They were happy to see.
Yes,
because those friends, they were with me in any kind of situation, good and bad, they were with me, and I was with them. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So yeah. You still have that?
Oh yeah. We right. used to study together, we used to suffer together. We used to cheat together, too.
Not you.
There.
Yeah, not here. Yeah.
Yeah, because during the Civil War, I spent most of my time at the university.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the university was considered by the government and the army a poison mm-hmm. for the population.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and I was there.
Dangerous.
So it was dangerous. I didn't get poisoned. The only thing that happened at the university was that I opened my eyes to see the reality. That was the reason why the Jesuit priests were murdered, because they were helping the Salvadoran to open their eyes. You guys, open the eyes. Look what the army is doing. Look what the government is doing. Please open your eyes. See the reality. That's what the Jesuit priests were doing. They were not murdered people. No. They were preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's the situation in El Salvador now?
I think for me it was much better during the Civil War than now. It was much better. Yeah, because now there's destruction in El Salvador. There's no, the unemployment is really high, poverty is really high, the education, only the rich one is being educated. Not the poor. The government is destroying all the Salvadoran natural resources. Yeah, because the government want to bring progress, want to bring industries to El Salvador, and everything is due to globalization. So globalization is destroying my poor country. So Communism and capitalism destroying El Salvador during the 80s. Now globalization is destroying economically El Salvador. Yes. More questions? Yes? Please feel free to ask questions. Yes, please.
Daniel, we've been talking this week about your life in North Dakota too, and your life here in North America, and it'd be pretty tough to you belong here too. You belong in both places.
Yeah, I belong in both places, and I behave different in both places. Here, I behave like a real. Like a real American, but when I am with my parents, I put the American way aside. Yeah. Even when I went to El Salvador, I decided not to speak in English. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I have to, because I got some phone calls from friends. So, and my parents were there because they wanted to hear me talk. Yeah, everybody from the family was there. What are you talking, uncle? What are you talking? I'm talking to a friend. Are you talking in English? Yes, I am. Yeah, my parents were there. They were, because they wanted to know how fluent I am. And they wanted to know. Yeah. Yeah. So, I think I function in both sides, Hispanic and Anglo. I function. Well, yes.
I have a question. Certainly the American government was assisting the military and the Salvadoran government. So why were they so anxious to help you escape after you convicted and publicly,
Yeah, I think they got me out of El Salvador because I declared those guys guilty.
And that helped, somehow that was helpful to them.
Yeah.
Like a sacrificial lamb or something.
Everything was money packed. And of course, in those days, we wanted the money. The government wanted the money. Yeah, everything was.
It was a show, basically.
It was a show. Yeah. It was a show. Yeah. Yeah, it was a show. So, and for that show. Those Jesuit priests were murdered for that show. For that show, innocent people were murdered.
Oh, thank you for telling the story.
Oh, thank you for listening to me.